And he made it very clear that we are a separate people. But he indicated that at one time, he indicated it must needs be that you go out of the world. So you have to have contact with people in the world. And we're not supposed to treat people like Hindu untouchables. We're not supposed to shy away from them like they've got leprosy. We're supposed to be courteous, nice, loving toward them. And I think that's true with all people. So I'm going to show you basically what I believe about it. It may not be tough enough for some of you. It may be too lenient for others. But this is what I believe. This is back to basics. And these are things that I taught when I first came here 25 years ago. Now, this isn't the same slide. I made all these up new and reworked it because if you don't do that, you'll be stale as an old donut. Back to basics. God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Not in truth with a little bit of error. Only in truth. Truth and error are never to be mingled together in worshiping our Father. So, would I go to a Methodist worship service? No. Would I go to a Catholic worship service? No. Would I go to a Baptist church that practiced open communion? No. Not in a worship service. But if they had a funeral for a friend of mine at the Catholic church, at the Baptist church, that practiced open communion, or Assembly of God church, I would go to the funeral out of respect for the friend. And I would not be nasty and mean and snarly and tell them they were all going to hell. I'd be real friendly toward them. I'd be real kind toward them. I'd try to be as gentlemanly as I could and show as much of Christ's personality as I could. But I would never go to worship in any church that contained error. This is not an option. It is absolutely required. Now, I'm just giving you some advice now. I've had a lot of ticklish situations in my life, and still do. As a pastor, I'm not exposed to as much confrontation as you are, because they're not likely to invite me to come to a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or a Catholic church. They're not as likely to ask me to come. So I don't have a confrontation. But they are going to ask you to come. Now, this is my opinion and my judgment. If someone says, you come to my church and I'll come to yours, No. I don't believe that's right. You say, well, I don't agree. Well, that's fine. But that's what I believe. Now we're going to give over the area where I may be a little more lenient than I should. If they're having a vacation Bible school at this First Baptist Church down here, or at Calvary Baptist down here, then I got no problem with you sending your kids. I wouldn't send mine, but I've got no problem with you sending yours, and I'm not going to preach a message at you, and I'm not going to get irritated at you. That's strictly your decision. But what I do draw the line on is a worship service where you come together and you worship in spirit and in truth, and the word is preached and taught in a formal setting. That, no. I don't think under any circumstances you should ever go to one. Now, if a good friend of mine got married in this Baptist church down here, I'd go down there. Now, I want to say something as an overlay to all this. Don't get the impression that under any circumstances I would ever be discourteous or unkind to any one of the pastors in this area. I don't care if he's Jehovah's Witness. I don't care what he is. I would never, 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 never be unkind to the man. And I would treat him with the utmost respect. I would do the same with any person who is a Catholic, a Methodist, a Protestant, whatever. I do not have disrespect for the people. It is what they believe that I have disrespect for. And what I have disrespect for is the exposure to false teaching. So when it comes to things like Vacation Bible School, I know what these Bible schools around town teach. They teach Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They do paperwork. They teach the kids to honor and respect the Lord. And they don't go into deep doctrinal teaching. So that's why, on that area, I'm not going to jump you. Because that's up to you. But the truth is, in a formal worship service, no. And I want to show you why. This is Genesis 4 and 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Look at his emotion. Look at the man's emotion. Very wroth. Now God told him, he said, Cain, look, if you bring me the right offering, he said, just bring me the right offering, Cain, and everything will be fine. And you can then have the lordship over your brother because you're the firstborn. Just bring me the right offering, Cain. That's all you have to do. But he was very wroth. Most false religions feed on inner emotion and on human opinion and human preference. And he was so mad that he ended up killing his brother. Who do you think has killed all the Baptist martyrs down through the ages? What group do you think has slaughtered more Baptists than any other group? Roman Catholics. And yet sometimes, if a preacher talks about this, oh, we don't want to talk about this. But listen, that Baptist blood laid out there on those fields, and those people died for what they believed. And the only reason they aren't slaughtering us now is because we're not over in Northern Ireland. But that's false religion. And when God separated Cain, it was understood that the descendants of the next son, Seth, were not to intermingle with them or have any part of their worship. It was his worship that was the problem. He didn't have respect for his offering. And that's the problem. And that's the problem when you go to another church. You say, well, I know better than that. I don't believe what they say. But people see you there. And people associate you with that church. You shouldn't go to a formal worship service. Now I want you to notice John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice Jesus said, and now is. This is the fourth chapter of John. He is speaking to the woman at the well. He has already begun to organize the church. It is not fully completed, but more than two or three are already a part of it. He's added them, and it's a church. He says, and now is, right now. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. I wouldn't be here in this church if I didn't believe it taught the truth. And so why should I want to go somewhere else where they don't teach the truth? I've got nothing against the building. I've got nothing against the people. I've got nothing against the pastor. It's what they teach. This isn't personal. This is spiritual. And that's what I'm dealing with. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I taught this years ago when I first got here. And thought I had everybody pretty well ingrained, but we've got a lot of new people since then. There's no other way. So, what have I got against the Assembly of God? Nothing against the pastor, nothing against the people, nothing against the building. But they don't teach the truth. And the spirit that they have is one with which I am not familiar. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now, this is the word of God you're looking at on the screen. So if you can, divorce yourself from me. If you can, divorce yourself from me. Whether you like the way I'm presenting this, whether you like me personally, whether you agree with me as a person, whether your opinion of me is favorable or unfavorable, dismiss me from this as much as possible. And ask yourself what the word of God teaches. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's almost like some Baptists that talk to me and say, Brother McElmurray, you shouldn't talk about this, you shouldn't talk about that. Listen, baloney. You think the devil is dead? You think the demons have rolled over? They want you in these other churches. They want you to get a load of that doctrine. They want to separate you from the faith. These people left the faith a long time ago. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you got no business worshiping with them. You say, well, what about them coming to my house and eating dinner? That's great. What about them? What about me going to shopping with them? That's great. But don't form a close, personal, warm, intimate relationship that actually has a situation where you are exposed to what they worship and what they believe. We can't go out of the world, but we don't have to be a part of it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I've told you the story of my mother. I love my mother dearly. I miss her a lot. But she said, son, those Methodist preachers, they pray the most beautiful prayers. Well, I reckon the devil could pray a beautiful prayer. But they teach you can lose your salvation. They have a form of godliness. Look at this little old short, fat, dumpy. Do I really look very holy up here, running around in tennis shoes and a jumpsuit? No. But if I had a nice suit on, would lose a little weight, carry my Bible like this and say, it certainly is good to see you, brothers and sisters, today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come into your presence praising your name. I can put a quiver in my voice. I can put on an act. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of Christ. You say, well, I know Methodist preachers preach Christ crucified, but then they say it wasn't enough power to save you and keep you. They deny the power thereof. It's not the people that I'm attacking. It's not the building I'm attacking. It's not even the name. What I'm attacking is what they are. Phonies. They may not realize they're phonies. In many cases, I don't think they do, but they're phonies, and don't be a part of it. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 5. I want you to notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 5. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that's the church, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. He cleanses the church with his word. If you go to a place where they're not teaching the truth, how does that help you? How does that cleanse you? Well, how does that make you feel? You've got no business there. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile you through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Right here's what he wants. You are what you think. Did you ever hear that before? You are what you think. And the simplicity that is in Christ is this. That word literally means singleness. The singleness, the simplicity that is in Christ. That's why I don't want you to go with those false churches. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, I know the truth, and I'm going to make this person mad. Who do you want to make mad, the person or God? You say, well, you just don't understand, Brother McElmurray. No, that's what I'm trying to do. I want you to understand what the Bible says. And we're not finished. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Well, what is another Jesus? One whose power is not quite enough to save. One whose power is not quite enough to keep. One who, on the cross, you have to nail baptism up there with it. Then you have to name communion up there with it. And by the time you nail all that stuff up there, you've corrupted the singleness and simplicity, and you've got Jesus covered up with a multiplicity of things that involve the efforts of men. They preach another Jesus. They have another spirit. That's not the spirit down there teaching them salvation by works. It's a doctrine of devils, which ye have not received, or another gospel. Another gospel which is not a gospel. Our gospel is the only gospel, but they preach a gospel of salvation by grace and works. It's a lie. So why do you want to go to such a place? Which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Might as well put up with him. If you're going to go that route, you might as well go whole hog, grab for all the gravy and get the first time around. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very cheapest apostle. Paul's really concerned here. Paul's concerned because these people in this church are starting to follow false teachings. Now, if what I have said has irritated you, and if I put it in such a way that you're offended by it, I want you to understand why I'm doing it. I know what the man's talking about. I am responsible for you as your pastor. And if Paul was concerned about them being affected by this garbage, then I'm also concerned about you. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, he said, I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. These people were already in the church. They were already preaching that. And some of them had already pulled out of the church. And they were already starting splinter groups called Gnostics, which are as heretical as these other churches around here. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as weak. Now I want you to notice what he said. This is why you shouldn't go to these other churches. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I am a God-called pastor, a minister of Christ. I preach the Spirit, the truth in spirit. I preach in spirit, and I preach in truth. These fellows don't. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. It's all an outer shell. It's all an outer veneer. They appear to be holy, so holy they came down out of heaven on a stack of Scofield Bibles. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They believe in salvation by works. That's exactly what they're going to be judged by at the great white throne of judgment. You say, now, Brother McElroy, I believe there are saved people in other churches, don't you? Yeah, I do. But I don't believe there's somebody in a false church that believes he's saved by grace and faith that I'm going to see in heaven. I think some people get saved, and then after they're saved, they get taught incorrectly. But I don't see all this vast horde of saved people in these other churches that so many ministers do. I see some saved, but I certainly don't see as many as others imagine. How can God save a person if the Bible is clear, very clear? Paul said, "For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If Jesus died, if Jesus shed the blood, if Jesus gave the covering, then do you think God is going to allow somebody to add his own works to it and say, yes, now I'm saved because I've completed what Christ did? Not in a pig's eye. So the truth is, stay away from these false churches. Now, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Having a form of godliness. Well, we've already looked at that. Having a form of godliness, they transform themselves into angels of light. They appear to be holy, a lot holier than I am. They wear long flowing robes. Look at them on television. Look at them in these churches. Long flowing robes. A big outward veneer of holiness. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's all phony baloney. But what about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? From such, turn away. You say, well, that's not quite what that means. Dismiss me from this. And whether you like what I'm saying or not, forget it. Look at what this says. From such, turn away. 2 Corinthians 11:5. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now notice, but denying the power thereof, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And right down the street here, we've got a church that believes if you don't get baptized, you're headed straight for hell. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Surely, if baptism had anything to do with the gospel or the saving power or efficiency of Christ, Paul would never have said that. This is 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18. They're denying the power thereof. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Well, how do they deny the power? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. These false ministers up here, when you tell them it's Jesus and Jesus alone, and that blood and that sacrifice and that life is the all-sufficient covering for sin forever, and when he saves you eternally. And you can show them reams of Scripture to prove it. And to them, it's foolishness. Oh, you mean tell me a man go out here and do this? Not. Oh, they don't know Christ. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's denying the power thereof. You can go to any, you can go right down the street here. There's churches all over town that don't believe that. They believe that they've got to help God. They don't believe that what Christ did on the cross was enough. You've got to add to it. You've got to change it. What in the world did Cain do? I imagine Cain was a pretty good old boy. You know, a lot of people lose their temper. One of the worst things you can have in a church is a guy that's always losing his temper. And I know I'm bad about it myself, but he loses his temper. There are most of people. When he wasn't losing his temper, I imagine he was a pretty fine fellow. I imagine, just I am imagining, and I confess that, if God had said, "Okay, Cain, I sure do like your improvement. It's a whole lot better than that old smelly blood and stuff and that old animal carcass. I like that fresh vegetables. Thank you, Cain, for helping me improve that." But you see, that's an insult in the face of the Creator of the universe. Someone who made this whole universe, and you're going to improve on what he did? You say, "Well, Brother McElmurray, I just love Methodists." So do I. But I hate their doctrine because they have improved on baptism. Now you don't have to immerse anybody. Just sprinkle them with a beautiful rose. I'm sure that those vegetables looked a lot prettier than that slaughtered animal, but not to God. And I'm sure the rose sprinkling ceremony is much more beautiful than somebody getting dunked in a tub. But it isn't what we classify as beautiful. It's what God has told us to do. I want you to notice, we're talking about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's your proof. They deny the power of God as the all-saving, sufficient covering for sin. Now let's take a look at Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Look, it's not the Catholic Church, they teach that, that I dislike. It's not the people. It's not the Methodist Church. It's not the building. It's not the people. It's not the Assembly of God. It's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't dislike those people personally. And I'm all for them being saved. And I don't walk around the block when I see one coming. I'll shake his hand. I'll be friendly to him. I'll be kind to him. I will not be insulting to him. But it's what they teach and believe that is an abomination to Almighty God. And that's why you shouldn't go and worship with them. Now, I could patty cake this around and do a little song and dance routine, but I believe you want to know the truth. And at least I'm telling you and showing you what I believe the truth is about this false religion. You say, "Well, why do it now?" Because this is the latter time. You see, in the first, there was no problem. You had one church. And they believed the same thing. They believed in salvation by grace. They believed in security of the believer. They believed in baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church. They believed the Lord's Supper was a closed ordinance to the church. And they never heard of a universal invisible church. They knew each one was a local visible assembly. It was child's play. They all knew that. That's what they were like. Well, what caused this mess today? I'll tell you what caused it. People pulling out of the church that didn't know the truth, and people who didn't want to know the truth but wanted man's version following them. And I'll tell you what caused all these churches. It's a corruption of the simplicity that is in Christ. And if I don't stand up here and do this once in a while and tell you what's wrong with these churches, then how on earth are you ever going to know? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm telling you what's wrong with them. And I'm telling you how they started. Every single one of them was started by a man, except ours, and it was started by the Lord, who is the Lord Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It would appear here that here are some very religious people. As a matter of fact, these were the most religious people on the earth. And these scribes and Pharisees, dressed in long flowing robes, they had plenty of money. They were the leaders in the Jewish community. And you would certainly think that they would go to heaven. Don't you dare say anything bad about these people. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, just look what they did immediately. They showed they didn't know the truth. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? What do you mean I'm a sinner? What do you mean I'm in bondage to sin? What do you mean I need? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Brother, I'm one of Abraham's seed. How say you shall be made free? They didn't want to be set free because they were happy in the bondage under the law. But they were very religious. This area is loaded with people that are very religious. If I don't tell you about it, I'll have to answer to Christ at judgment seat. I'd much rather just do a little song and dance routine and get plenty of sleep and not have to worry about it. But I am your pastor, and I am accountable to God, and you do need to know about these false churches. Why do you not understand my speech? He asked them. This is the same group. It doesn't change the narrative. He said, even because you cannot hear my word. They couldn't hear the word because they weren't born again. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. So what happened, and what caused all the problems we've got? This was the first group recorded that broke away from the church. They were called Gnostics. They believed that Christ was a phantom. He wasn't really flesh and blood. Oh, they believed he was the Son of God, but he was a phantom. And he wasn't real, tangible. Who is he that is Antichrist but he that denieth that Jesus is come in the flesh? He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I don't want you to get out of church. I don't want you to get into false religion. When you get mad at me, you get mad at somebody here, remember where you are and remember who you are and remember why you're here. You should be here because the Bible is preached and taught here and the truth is presented, and we do this in spirit and in truth. That's why you ought to be faithful and you ought to be here in this church, our one of like faith and order that practices and preaches. But they went out from us. And now you want to know where they are? Presbyterian, Methodist. You see, this was the beginning. Now they've gone out in all sorts of different directions. When I came here, the First Baptist Church down here was a fine church. I was a good friend of Tony Bears. I like Tony Bears. They practiced closed communion. Now they don't practice closed communion anymore. I don't know what they're taking for baptism now. Can't say one way or the other. But they practice open communion. You say, well, it'll get better. No, it'll get worse. Because when you intermingle and when you compromise one thing, the way our doctrine and the teaching the Lord left us is set up, everything else begins to crumble all the way up the line. Well, you may think, I am excited about this because it's something that, quite frankly, I've taken some flack on over the years. And you shouldn't say anything about the Methodists. You shouldn't say anything about this and so forth and so on. Well, I don't much in the morning service out there, but this is Wednesday night, and I don't see a whole lot of Jehovah's Witnesses here, and I don't see a whole lot of Methodists here. We've got some Strobes here, but I think we can trust them a little. So let's go on. Ever learning. 2 Timothy 3:7 and 8. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These were two very religious men. They were in the priesthood of Egypt, and they were very religious, and they worshipped gods. But they were reprobate concerning the faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when I stand out there and I say there's about 21 different churches in and around this town, and I say those people are meeting there and they don't know the truth, I don't mean that they don't have some of the truth. The First Baptist down the street here, it has some of the truth. Calvary has some of the truth. They still practice salvation by grace. They still preach and teach secure the believer. They still believe in baptism by immersion. I don't mean that God has just written these Baptist churches completely off. One of the things that has always mystified me is how some people can very clearly identify when the Lord takes the candlestick out. I have difficulty with that. You say, well, now, what about Assembly of God? Oh, they never had it. You say, that's a cruel, hard thing to say. You want me to tell you the truth or just pussyfoot around? Neither did they never had it. Well, you say, what about the Baptist? I don't know. What about First Baptist? Is he taking a candlestick out, doesn't he? I don't know. But here's a very helpful thing. Why take a chance? Why take a chance? Why play the role of a fool? If you don't know whether he's taken out or not, at least you know he hadn't taken it out here. Because we still preach and teach the truth, and we still practice exactly what First Baptist used to practice. Every single Southern Baptist church at one time practiced closed communion. And bingo, look at them now. So you say, well, do you think they're still the Lord's churches? They may be, some of them. You say, well, should we start taking letters from them? No. No, because somebody comes to us and they were baptized after they started practicing open communion, we're going to dunk them again. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Michael Murray? That wouldn't be fair. Well, if we dunk them again, if we baptize them again, and then we've just dunked them, and I don't think the Lord will mind that at all if their first baptism was good. Now, we've had people come to this church that are older people. We took their baptism because back then the Southern Baptists had good baptism. And no problem. But some of these young ones that are being baptized down here? No, we're going to have to talk about that when that comes up. What are these people like? 1 Timothy 6 and 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, it's not me. It's not me. If this were all left up to me, I'd do just what Cain did. If God said, Tom, you just do whatever you want, I'd say, okay, Lord. And I would just make it, my carnal man would figure out something that would give him the greatest advantage. But this is what God said. He said, from such withdraw thyself. Yeah, I'm friendly to him. I'm kind to him. But you don't see me going down on an ecumenical council meeting with them, do you? You don't see me sitting down here when they meet at the ecumenical council. You don't see me going out to fellowship dinners with them. You don't see me hobnobbing and meeting with them. Why? Shun all appearance of evil. You say, well, they're not evil. They're not evil per se, but what they believe and what they teach is evil. Having a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3, 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and when I get there, I'm going to have to answer for preaching this. And you're going to have to answer for looking at it and your conduct and your actions based on what you saw and heard. 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We've had some splits here across the river, and I think some of the people that pulled out of those churches didn't even know the Lord and formed another church. You say, well, that's just your opinion. Well, I have to admit there, it is just my opinion. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I've had people tell me, oh, Brother McElberry, this is an unction. It's a rubbing in. The word means a rubbing in. I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. I have since the time I was born again. And from the Holy Spirit, you know all things. Okay. I've had people say to me, well, Brother Michael Murray, you know, I've been born again. I have Christ living inside me. Why can't I just go over there to the Methodist worship service? You know, it'd look good for me with these other people over there. They're my friends. Who do you think wrote all this stuff? That same Holy Spirit that's living inside you. And he's telling you not to do it. I have written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Jude 3:11. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And yet, many members in missionary Baptist churches just want everybody to roll over, fall dead, ignore all the stuff that's going on. Just let the church members live the kind of lives they want. Don't ever teach them something where it would cause them to leave the church. Well, we've had people leave the church over this since I've been here. And we'll have more people leave the church over it. Because they think more of what men say, and they fear men more than God. Woe unto them Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Last Wednesday night I covered that, and I showed the three different types of basic heresy that has come out, and it's all based on what those three men did. God is a spirit. John 4:24. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. We keep the ordinances. Baptism, the Lord's Supper. We keep them just like they were delivered to us. The reason we don't exchange letters with First Baptist down here is because they violated the Lord's Supper ordinance. Is that any of our business? Only when it comes time to grant a letter or when it comes time to receive one. We accept people from that church on a profession of faith and declaration of baptism if they were baptized before they started this practice. And the reason that we do it, it's the only way we have of protesting and of standing for the truth. And if people won't stand for the truth in this last day, then who on earth is going to stand for the truth? 2 Corinthians 6:17. So why not go to these other churches? Why not go over there and visit your friends and worship with them? Now, I'm talking about a worship service. I'm not talking about some special function that they have where you've got a close friend that you've known all your life and it's just some little old piddly something. You go over there for a Christmas play or, well, not a Christmas play, but some kind of play or something. I got no problem with that. Other people do, but I've got no problem with it. It's the worshiping that I got a problem with. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We are supposed to be separate. And we need to maintain a separation. He said, Brother McElmurray, when are you going to quit? There's just no telling. Back to basics. What is the problem in all these false religions? What is it that caused them to go astray? What's the historical background that man has had ever since he first sinned? Back to basics. Do not substitute, change, modify, or attempt to worship God in any way or form other than he has specified. And do not put yourself in place or position to worship with those who do. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, here's an interesting thing that God gave to Moses when he was going up into the hills to get the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai. We're going to take a look now at, I don't even have it up here on the board, but I would say it was Exodus chapter 15, 31, I think. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea unto the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. So God cleaned out the land ahead of them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. He said, don't you go over there with those religionists. You say, well, they're not religionists down here in the Methodist Church. Yes, they are. You say, they're not religionists in the Catholic Church. Yes, they are. They are religionists. They do not know the truth. They do not teach the truth. And they are very religious people, but they do not know the truth. Even in the Old Testament, he said, thou shalt make no covenant, no agreement with them, nor with their gods. Pretty plain spoken. God didn't want Israel mixing with them because he knew what would happen. You may think you're strong, but the problem is people that think they're strong are weak, and people that think they're weak are strong. Verse 33. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if they serve, thou serve thy gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now that's what God said. You say, I don't see how it could hurt me going down to that Methodist church or the Catholic church and sitting down there and, you know, going down once a year or so and visiting with them. Well, shun all appearance of evil. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't identify with evil. Don't go down there. What on earth do you want to be among a bunch of people that are worshiping a different God from the one you worship? And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship thee afar off. So here goes Moses up to get the Ten Commandments. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go with him. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Didn't take them very long, did it? Bob, how's it doing on that tape? And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Didn't take long, does it? It doesn't take long for you to fall away from the faith either. And if you're one of those people think, well, I've got this pretty well down, I won't fall away, you'll be the first one to fall away. It's when you're weak, you're strong. But when you think you're strong, you're weak. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Let me show you what they did. They made that molten image in honor of their God that had brought them out along with all the other gods. It was a substitute, something they could see, taste, touch, and feel. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God. It's really a matter of whether you want to please God or whether you want to please men. This is the last sheet. When I want to do this, back to basics. Do not add to, substitute, take away, or try to improve on what God has directed. Well, we've already gone through Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothing. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. He didn't bring what the Lord said. All he had to do was just bring what the Lord said. No, he didn't want to do that. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respected Abel to his offering. But unto Cain to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Why didn't he have respect? He didn't do it the way God said. That's why God doesn't respect the Methodist church. That's why God doesn't respect the Catholic church. That's why God doesn't respect Jehovah's Witness. That's why God respects this church, because we did it the way he said to do it. And this isn't legalism. This isn't Phariseeism. This is just doing it the way God said. Cain and Saul are like most false religionists. They attempt to worship God with a few modifications here and there that suits their purposes. I don't know for sure, but I imagine that Cain would have had to ask his younger brother for a sheep, and he probably had too much pride. But that's speculation on my part, and I admit it. But Cain had a lot of pride. He kept losing his temper every time God wouldn't go his way. But Saul is a whole lot like Cain. 1 Samuel 15:1. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 3, 1 Samuel 15:3 and 4. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, nor slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Seems pretty horrible, verse 3, doesn't it? Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Oh, how horrible! Oh, how cruel! God made man in the Garden of Eden, and God propagated through a sperm and an egg that man would be a continued. And God formed these people in their mother's womb, and he waited until the time of the Amorites was full, and they had completely and utterly corrupted themselves. And they were an abomination to God spiritually. They even buried their children in the walls and sacrificed them on the stomach of a hot idol that they heated up. This was an ungodly bunch of people. And they were gods, and they were his to do with as he would. God said, Here's what I want you to do, Saul. Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them, but slay both man and infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, This is what you are to do. Here's what we're supposed to do right here. We are supposed to come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. We are supposed to practice the ordinances that God gave us the way that God gave them. We are to believe in salvation by grace and the unmerited favor and the marvelous glory of a great God who sent His Son to suffer and bleed and die for us. We are to believe that that Son's blood covering was all sufficient to save our souls for all eternity and to keep them forever. We are to believe He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We are to believe that the church has the authority to baptize, and it has been passed on and down through the ages. And I'm going to preach on that next Wednesday. And when it is passed down, we have authority to baptize, and our baptism is acceptable to God because it follows the rules His Son gave us. And we believe the Lord's Supper is a closed ordinance of the church. We also believe that the church is local and visible. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has told us what to do, and we're doing it. So why not go down and worship the mess of church? They're not doing it. Why not go down to the cat? They're not doing it. Why shouldn't you go down to First Baptist? They're a Baptist church. They preach salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion. They're not practicing the ordinance like...